We'll call the meeting to order. Recognize alternates. There. What's that? 7:33. Sorry. 7:33 a.m. Don't see any alternates. Action approved minutes on June 22nd for the policy board meeting.
I'll move approval.
I'll second that.
Am I making the notes on here for you?
Yeah. Lundell Hoffman.
Yeah, I got it.
You trained up for next year.
Well, I didn't realize I was taking meeting notes for you guys. You can do them in minutes. That doesn't seem like it's in my purview.
It's just that part.
All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Any comments from the public? Don't see any public. He left. Executive Director's update.
It's a lengthy one this month, so I can read through it or summarize, or if there's any specific questions we want to talk about, I can answer them. I'll go through it fast, and if you guys stop me and you've read most of it, I'll quit. The first thing, one of the main important things, is the transition to our accounting and payroll was completed on June 25th to the city of Iowa City, and things have been going really smooth there since that time's taken over. So it was an easy transition. We had everything done by the first of the fiscal year, or the start of the new fiscal year. Currently have 5 employees in training, 1 vacant position left to fill due to a recent full-time employee wanting to step down and just take part-time hours. So we kept her on board and allowed her to pick up part-time hours as necessary. So I'm working with the city of Iowa City on with their staff and their consultant's recommendation to use Industrial Park Tower. We talked about the last meeting. Just had a meeting with them this week to take a look at the site, find out a little bit more about how much equipment would be going into the site with their radio vendor. They're going to provide me a drawing and some stuff. It's going to be pretty packed in there once they move that stuff in. So once I get the information back from their vendor and we go over it with Raycom, they suggested the two vendors meet and make sure everything would be fine. It wouldn't take up any space for our future growth or anything like that, or there's anything that we have that could come out that's no longer used to free up space. So we'll be going over that with them sometime in October, and then we'll talk further about that arrangement. Blackhawk County, been up there a few times this month, 3 times actually between August and September. They're kind of talking about the funding the way we do, doing their operations that way. They fund currently on a call-for-service basis, and they're wanting to look at it possibly going to the countywide model like we're doing. So their communications board folks asked me to come up and explain to their board how our communications center operated and had any questions and stuff about that. We went over that, and so they're looking to pursue that. So just been kind of going up and helping them along the way if there's any questions they've had during those.
Did you say they currently pay on a call-for-service basis?
Yeah.
So they put a little tally sheet that this one is Waterloo's, this one's Cedar Falls or something?
By the way, the dispositions the CAD reported out. And it gets a little interesting. You can tell there's some issues with certain agencies on calls they don't want to respond to because that logged call-for-service would result in a charge.
Exactly. That's
so,
what I was thinking.
Yeah, it's created an interesting discussion up there, and they're wanting to move it more toward the way like we are and have that kind of funding structure in place. So really in the future, they're just making decisions versus not how they'll fund those, just to get the decisions made. So I offered to help answer any questions they had as they go along in their process, and I know they've greatly appreciated that. Skip over... we're going to have the first SARA board meeting today with all the radio systems, the counties that are coming on to the system, and then future potential prospects will be in attendance as well. So we'll start getting those policies hopefully in place and these interop templates in place that we can hand out for radio programming to these outside agencies and the federal and state agencies, because we're starting to get requests just coming in from ATF, Iowa Department of Transportation, Motor Vehicle Enforcement, ways they can communicate with all these other counties as they do business, drive through, or operate in them. And so without giving out everyone's local operational frequencies and going through and meeting with all the chiefs and saying, can they have your Law 1, can they have this, we're trying to come up with a template that we can share across the regional or our regional system that everybody would just have in that radio, and then each county would patch into that, and each county would have one kind of mutual interop talk group that you could know. If I'm driving through Johnson, I just turn my radio to 52 Law Aid, and I know I'm going to talk to Johnson County's dispatch center, and it doesn't matter if I'm a Polk County Sheriff's car or whatnot. And then we can always patch that to whatever else, the event or whoever we need them to operate, instead of giving away all our, you know, local police operating frequencies to all these agencies around the state. You just program one in, and then we tie it in. Good use of the technology, but we just need to get there, and we need to get on the same page with everybody in the group. And so that's one thing we're moving toward, kind of get implementing first. At the end of August, this is a good one to bring up just so everyone's aware. We submitted our paperwork to get approval to program a radio on the Essex radio system. So that way when people may hear or may see, you know, Johnson County's, the way that this will get approved at the board meeting, it'll make it sound like Johnson County's coming on as a new subscriber and like we're ditching our radio system and joining the state radio system. So it's important to know that while the newsletters are going to say Johnson County is a new user, it is really a new user so we can program one of our interop gateway radios so that we can access the state's new system. The troopers are now operating on it, and it's a way to patch in any resources that come in on that state system, because other counties in local jurisdictions are on it as well. But we'll just have a way to then another path to interoperate with those folks as they come into the county. And again, it just it shows the leverage we have in our system, the flexibility to, you know, interoperate with all these different agencies and how we can make it work.
That means a reduced cost to us, though, as far as when we buy new radios and stuff, we don't have to issue any of the troopers anymore, right?
We should be able to recover all those, right?
Yeah, and that's a question. They won't have a way to listen to our encrypted talk groups if they want to monitor the daily stuff like they used to with their scanners. Right now, I think they use it as a scanner more than anything, but that's a question that Linn County brought up the other day, and their sheriff's department brought up as an operational question was, did they take their radios as well? And it was a question talked about because they wouldn't have a way to hear what was going on, because in the past they used their scanners pretty heavily and then would get on aid and call into those agencies. Now if they wouldn't know, so they would then truly be relying on. So from a law enforcement standpoint, yeah, something to talk about. Maybe we can find a better way to address that as well, but that was just a kind of a side meeting that was discussed as this moved forward with that. You know, on the notes of that, and it may be on in my report, but I'll talk about it a little bit now. For football operations this year, we did tie in the Essex radio system to our radio system through a gateway out in the communications trailer that the state has in the parking lot. And we were using that for the motorcade traffic because troopers are responsible for bringing the teams down from Cedar Rapids. And so, again, we just showed we could tie the two systems together with resources that we have here. And we also have our own gateway locally as well. They just used the one in the state trailer because that was kind of the state requesting to do that. So we're doing that now. The press release I put in, I updated a new one. I kind of reworded it and ran it by the local people in the county and stuff that do the press releases. So I updated a little bit of that, but kind of a big deal. This month we deployed Rapid SOS at the dispatch center here. It was a it's a technology tool, it's at no cost to us. It currently integrates with our Geocom mapping software. That tool provides more advanced, accurate location information for Apple and Android devices running the new iOS 12 that was just released last week, and then any Android version 4.0 or higher. Just kind of in a highlight summary what that does, kind of one of the big things you can test with is it provides a little more accurate location than the Phase 2 cellular today. It gets within 50 meters is going to be the required standard by by 2021 for this technology. Phase 2 gets us about within 200 now, but if you have an issue or an emergency, let's say in the middle of a cornfield, it's going to plot where the phone, where the cell tower received the call, and then it draws an arrow to where that phone is approximately probably at within that field. So to guide resources that a little better and find people is good. It works in buildings. It'll also work with Wi-Fi, so if it detects you're on a Wi-Fi network in the building, it'll merge the information it can receive from the Wi-Fi, the internet provider, plus the GPS data, and provide that as well. So when you're in a building, it's pretty accurate on what corner of the building you're even in, or the middle of the building. It will detect, they're saying in the future, what floor you're on, if you're in a major building. And if we had a mapping, and the more detailed mapping we can get locally at the GIS level and put in our mapping system, that will plot on that correctly as well. So, again, it's a pretty neat technology. It has worked in the past, but always through an app. So we had to tell people to put an app on. We probably had it for a couple of months prior to that, but we knew this was coming, and we wanted to wait and do the press release, let the people know that our county supports that once we weren't having people have to download an app and walk through using an app. This makes it much easier. It's already on the phone now. So we wanted to make sure
this, let people know. It is the same thing that Sierra County
uses. Same thing. Yep. Okay. They were always had to use an app.
Their version is.
The other kind of big note here, I'm working with the state on getting our second ESINET connection turned up, which is redundant SIP circuit for the wireless 911. Johnson County, a couple years ago, was chosen to be one of the 13 counties that the state was going to invest this redundant technology in. Obviously, a lot of it had to do with our facility, in the hardened facility, and then the resources we have here due to the size and the number of staff we have working at any one time. And so we will be one of the regional routing PSAPs in the state. We've had some delay in getting our secondary ESINET connection up because our second server node for our 911 sits down at DPS. It's in a redundant, a separate location. Getting that connection there, the company didn't want to, even though we were explaining it to them, that networking-wise, how I can make this work and how I know it'll work, they were not in agreement with that. And then recently, Scott County has the same setup, and they got their drawing approved. So I revisited with them and explained to them that this is the same thing we told you a year ago. So now the vendors agreed that that layout or design will be supported. So they're going to move forward now with the state getting that connection to us. What that means is Johnson County right now, in the preliminary map that was released, will have approximately 8 counties plus ourselves that will be like a level 3 backup for 911 call routing. We're going to branch down a little bit into southeast Iowa as far over as Monroe County, Wapello County, Jefferson County, Henry County, up to Loiza, Washington, and Johnson, and where's the other one? I'm missing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 so far. 8 then. Sorry, 8 total.
Des Moines?
No, Des Moines went down to Leecom in their routing map. And so what that'll mean is for those counties, they'll obviously have a first level backup, probably their neighboring county if their circuits go down. But if that area is down, then it will route to Johnson County instead of going to Des Moines, where everybody's kind of third condition routing went to. So it will come to Johnson. It keeps the calls a little more regional in the area, closer geographically, and then we would be responsible for getting in touch with those agencies and relaying that. And then beyond that, then what happens if Jack would go down, our process goes the same. We're still going to roll to Cedar Rapids. Our level 3 would then roll amongst these 13 before going to Des Moines. So the calls would then be evenly distributed amongst the 13 other centers in the state before going to Des Moines. So it's kind of the state's concept. I think what you'll see in the future is, and kind of the way Indiana, Illinois, and the way the legislation is going, and you know, they want to consolidate these PSAPs. They want to get us down to a small manageable number instead of 114 around the state that we have today. I think what you're seeing is kind of the future where this is going to go in the next, you know, maybe 10 years before it gets there, maybe sooner. But this is a long-term plan, I think, where you're going to see the state move on routing 911 calls. I Write-in program has been complete, so once quarter one of 2019 is complete and Raycom gets all the cores connected between Blackhawk, Lynn, and Johnson, our radios will be able to fully roam seamlessly between all the systems over to Polk, etc., and be able to detect that system when we're going. Right now, I explained in a previous meeting, it was just Lynn and Johnson, because at that time we thought that was what it was going to be for a while. So everybody had to reprogram the radios to support a new IDIN number that would be shared across all the systems. So basically, it would just pick up what system you're traveling to, and like just like the cell phones, you just roam and work. So once those other cores are connected up, Raycom's given us an estimated date of sometime that by March of 2019, they would have all that work completed. So that would work seamlessly. I shared with you that. So let's move on to the agenda items. And unless there's any questions.
A lot of new technology.
Yeah, just new stuff coming up this year, I guess, and things, it's never stopping. That secondary ESINET thing has been on my radar since it came out, and ever since they told us it wouldn't work, and we knew it would work in our scenario, it's been arguing with the vendor to get them to support it and get that going. But that was something, like I told the state, we don't want to miss out on that. We've got the facility, and it's kind of what we're here for, and we want to be a regional player in the future. So,
any other questions? Action to approve resolution 2018-03, replacement of NSC clock, net clocks, which I have no idea what an NSC net clock is.
Yes.
You're
going to
find out.
Yeah, you're going to find out. Hopefully quickly. It's a GPS timing clock that the P25 network uses to keep its timing at the control points at the main network switching centers.
Is it tied into the atomic clock?
In the back end, they're all
That they are shutting down the atomic clock. Or is that just like
that. You might
political garbage?
Probably political garbage.
I heard that the president cut the fund. Seriously, I heard the president cut the funding, and that the atomic clock is going to get shut off because it's no longer needed.
Well, the vendors haven't said anything about that.
All right.
I don't know.
All right. Could be political
chatter. I couldn't see it going away because the whole GPS, the GPS system in general relies on the clocks. I guess if they want to shut off GPS.
Okay.
And time synchronization. So I included.
Watch to it. It'll be fine.
Yeah, I included some information in your packet about this time update. So in April of 19, the vendor there's a leap second event that will take place. Now, they can't necessarily say that our clocks would or wouldn't be completely affected, but they're not supported. So there'd be no updates to fix this problem if and when it was to happen. You're supposed to get up to 6 months' notice of when this leap second event would occur, but it could throw timing off for up to a minute, which would then throw the radio system completely out of sync and would not be operational, and it wouldn't know when that would happen. So Raycom has recommended to us that we at least update the clocks with the newer supported model at our primary network switching centers, which is at JEC and our backup site at Industrial Park, and then due to the connection we have through Blank Honors running through DPS being a dispatch, having a direct connection there with their dispatch consoles, we have a clock there as well as a backup. So we have to update those three. We can do the tower sites later, but the tower sites will have to be done by December of 2021. But there won't be affected under this current event because the tower sites don't rely on the GPS time in the back end. They use the net clocks just for the timing in the system, so it won't affect those. This is an unbudgeted expense because obviously it was just brought up to us in July. They made this announcement, and so we put everything together. Had Raycom provide a quote. I've recommended using it out of the DPS backup line that we've been, that's that slush fund we've been spending, and we'll call it a slush fund, but that fund that we've been spending down for unanticipated expenses. It's a bad term to use, the slush fund. But it's a fund we've been spending down that was pre-approved several years ago. Recommended taking out of that, and then what we'll need to discuss probably around budget time is how to budget for the rest of them. Because by December 2020, sorry, I looked at my notes. It's about $146,000 to complete the rest of this project. And so as that time comes, you know, we'll be looking at possibly, we've had some the talk has been regenerated about the CAD system again. New portable radios are going to probably need to be replaced coming up on the end of the initial maintenance contract with Harris. And at year 7, we can reevaluate that and move it to Raycom. And at that time, with that lower cost, we'll probably want to evaluate the radios because the radios are no longer would be supported. So there's a few things coming up, and I'll put those together kind of strategically during the budget time. We'll talk about that, but it might be some time for, you know, we might want to bond for those projects, as we've discussed in the past, that this group would want to do. As we remember, the current bonds come off FY 20 and 21. The radio system and the building will both be paid for. So right about that time, it looks like we may have then some other things that might need replaced. So that is what this agenda item is about.
I'll move approval of the resolution.
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Action to approve resolution 2018-04, hiring consultant for digital paging system.
So this is a project that the E911 has agreed to fund for us. We talked about this. Again, this is another path. This is probably way earlier last year. We probably discussed this around the March meeting because we just talked about this at the January E911 board meeting to fund this project. It's to upgrade and replace our digital paging, or replace our current VHF paging with new digital paging, which we talked about the benefits before. It's going to get departments out quicker. It's going to dispatch with the CAD. We're going to be getting people moving a lot sooner to fire EMS calls than what we're doing today. It's also one of the bigger things is it's going to be one way of doing things. Staff's not going to have to be remembering different ways to do different things for the different departments. How, you know, Iowa City wants page one way, the county agencies want page another. It's going to be one uniform way across the board, which is also going to be less stress on them at the time of trying to get it all paged out, which buttons they're pushing to get who going. So this project, E911's going to pay for that. I discussed at our last board meeting the possibility of funding a consultant. I spoke with E911. They will have the funding to do that. So since JEC will manage the project, we would enter into the agreement with the consultant. Some notes you have in your packet, and Jeff Stone wasn't able to be here today, so he put that executive summary together just to let you know about the bidding and the procurement stuff to make sure. You just wanted to make sure that JEXA would be covered in doing this. And the county, since they pay the funds out of E911, we wanted to make sure that we wouldn't be overstepping any of their policies if we approve something. And so I've gotten that cleared up, that the county doesn't have, they're following the same, they don't have a procurement policy. They're basically following the state code and what we do today and what Jeff Stone typed in his summary. So by moving forward with this, they will fund this project. What we kind of have to decide is, I present, until yesterday, I found out that the policy from the county. I put in your packets the proposal that would include the consultant doing an RFP as well to in order to meet the county's requirements. And once I found out they didn't have a procurement policy, option two for the consultant is to not do an RFP. The cost difference is about $46,200 versus $28,200. It would just be a decision on do we want to move forward with hiring a consultant and doing this project by selecting a vendor, or do we want to pay the increased amount and have the consultant write an RFP and do the process? I've been advised by Jeff we are fine either way due to the relationship that we already have established with Eller and Black Hawk County, recently negotiating a contract with a vendor on the same exact system and their pricing and being able to utilize that. So we are good on either way we decide. I think it's just, what does this group want to do? Do we want to do an RFP or do we want to save that cost and go direct?
I mean, it's a $7,000 savings to not have them write the RFP, and if the county didn't get their act together and
and adopt that purchasing policy that they indicated they were going to. I don't know why we wouldn't save the $7,000 and just have them do the scope of work without writing the $7,000 RFP.
$18,000.
Okay. In his original tender here, it shows a $7,000 reduction.
He increased some other charges between the two.
Okay.
Well, yep. Sorry about. Yeah, you read the quote.
Yeah.
But it showed
a $7,000 RFP.
So I don't know where his math. Yeah, I don't know where his math is, Dave. Okay. I wondered the same thing.
Well, regardless, it's cost savings, and if we're not required by statute to do it, and there's an existing contract, I'm all for saving taxpayer dollars.
I'm sorry, I'm a little slow in following this. They're putting together the proposals for them to put together the RFP to go out, and you're saying, do we want to go out for an RFP or just work direct? That's the
questions. So the original proposal from Eller, before we thought the county had this policy in place, the original proposal was for $28,200, mm-hmm. and its phase was basically the equivalent of phase one above, and then they increased phase three, the paging system, because they'd be adding some contract negotiation administration. So in addition to that RFP number, that 7,000,
yeah.
they increased that number that was 23,550 would go back down to 12,550.
Gotcha.
That's what the difference was. Sorry. Okay. Yeah, so they did increase that phase three number because there'd be additional work with the RFP.
And what's the estimate on the total cost?
It'd be
the procurement?
$18,000 difference between the two proposals. You'd save $18,000 if they did not do the RFP and the additional procurement negotiation administration. That number would go down to 12,550 from 23,550.
Sorry, the ultimate purchase, though, what we're working towards.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're looking at approximately $400,000 total.
So the question is whether we want to buy direct at $400,000 or do an RFP?
And there will be some, if we work with one vendor, there will be some credit from our current maintenance discounts that we're receiving. And that's approximately $150,000 off that number. And then we'd be using the negotiated pricing that Black Hawk County had received for the same system that we're looking at.
Piggyback off of theirs?
Yes.
Do they go through an RFP process?
They did initially. As a brand, is this a new new project for them?
Okay. As long as we'd be piggybacking off of competitive process, it'd be okay. But $400,000 without an RFP is, I couldn't support that.
Correct.
But if you're piggybacking, then that's okay.
And that would be our plan, and then making sure that the consultant made sure that off of that agreement that we had what was necessary, and that all the right pieces were proposed to us.
I assume it's apples to apples comparison with Black Hawk too.
Yes, sir. And we guess I don't need to really amend the resolution because we didn't put the dollar amount in the resolution.
Is there a motion to approve resolution 2018-04?
How's the resolution written here?
We do have, it says, JEXA wishes to hire a consultant to prepare a request for proposals for replacing the existing VHF paging system. Then on the last whereas clause, JEXA believes hiring Eller to prepare the RFP and assist in selecting and implementing the new digital paging system is in JEXA's best interest.
See a dollar amount?
But there was no dollar amount. We may need to, if we'd have to change the wording in line 3 and 6 of the whereas.
So you need to add a price not to exceed for hiring the consultant, correct? Because that's all SRP is for hiring the consultant to manage the digital paging process, correct?
Yes. That's what this resolution is, just to hire the consultant for that. And this can wait another month. If we want to rewrite this to correctly reflect the second quote, I can do that. If that, and then we don't have to rediscuss it. We can just have it formally, have the resolution written to reflect that appropriately, if that's necessary. It's not on, it won't delay.
I'd prefer that. Just to have the document, have the resolution written correctly for years from now.
Because this was a quick, late change that we just found out yesterday. And
when you come back next month, you can, in your director report and the item, you can talk about the Blackhawk procurement process.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, so we have a motion to table that till next month?
Yep.
Or sorry. Chris?
Yes.
And
second.
We'll fix that. All right.
Aye.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. I was making notes before I got to that.
This is kind of a tricky item because, you know, with Johnson County and E911 paying for us making the decision, though, and being in the agreement with them funding it, we just wanted to make sure we were not overstepping each other.
All right, other business.
So the last item is, this is the time of the year where we discuss the November-December meetings due to the holidays. So I put two dates in the agenda, November 16th, which is kind of where our typical practice is. We move to the week before in the holiday months.
Siri
likes it. Hey,
I was
Siri.
Trying to light up my calendar, and Siri's listening to you.
So November 16th would be the November meeting, which would be our budget work session meeting to go over the budget and discuss that. And then December 14th would be our annual meeting to approve the budget and annual report. If there's any other dates that don't work, now's a good time to...
Can we get the December date?
December 14th?
14th.
I'm not available November 16th. I'm in Des Moines, so...
I mean, I just picked the Friday, but it can be... We have... In November and December, these are the 2 months where dates and times have been...
We just try to find a date that works for the majority.
Very non... November, December become non-traditional dates and times, so... Doesn't have to be a Friday. It doesn't have to be.
Does before?
No. I'm good without being here.
Works for me.
Yeah, that works for me. Okay, so there.
Do you want to check with Susan?
Yeah.
Okay. And Kurt, is it?
Yep.
Okay. All right. Anything else before we accept to entertain a motion to adjourn?
Move to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries
806.